We are back. We took a break for Christmas. We're back studying the Gospel according to Luke. Today we're going to talk about no worries. Anybody have worries ever? We are in Luke chapter 12, verse 22 through 34. I'll be reading from New International Version. It says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow was thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan who runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near you and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So if you see the things I highlighted there, three basically negative commands. Do not worry. Do not set your heart on earthly treasures. Do not fear. Do not be afraid. So that's basically our outline today. I think that these are all three things that we struggle with, especially this time of year. And I'm going to say, as we go through these are negative commands. I'm also going to talk about how do we state those positively. So the first one we want to look at is do not worry. The opposite of worry is trust and faith. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. And this produces peace. Trust in the Lord. Have faith in God who cares for you. Many of us struggle with worry and anxiety. You cannot control the small things, it says here, so why do we worry about... We can't control the small things, so why do we think we can control the big things? So trust in the Lord. Many of you guys are familiar with this scripture from Philippians chapter 4. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think I put it in the bulletin there, the living translation for that is, "Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything." And I don't want to get trite. What's the old song out probably now 10, 15 years ago about "Don't worry, be happy"? So there are things that concern us. There are things that worry us. There are things that we wonder what's going to happen here, what's going to happen here. Is this going to be okay? We worry about our finances. We worry about our job. We worry about our kids, our grandkids. We worry about politics. We worry about all kind of stuff. And we don't just say, "Well, que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be." We say we're called to, when we have concerns, to put our concerns to God. Because God is loving, God is strong, and he is the one we need to pray for that this would turn out according to his will. Not according to our will, but say, "Your will be done, not my will be done." How many of you guys have ever prayed and then prayed for something and it didn't happen, and then 5 years later you say, "Oh God, thank you for not answering my prayer"? Because if it would have happened, it would have been bad. So that's why we pray, "God, your will be done, not my will be done." Because God has a lot better knowledge than we do, a lot more power than we do. So we need to say, "God, your will be done, not my will be done." That doesn't mean we don't have desires, and we shouldn't tell God, "God, this, I want this for my kids, I want this for my job, I want this for this and for that." God wants us to share with him, to talk to him, and share our desires with him. But when we worry, we try to take control back from God, say, "God, I'm okay here. I don't need you. If I have any trouble, I'll give you a call." He wants us to share our needs with him, share our concerns with him, talk to him. We're not sure who said this. Many people attribute this to Corrie ten Boom. She says, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. It empties today of its peace. We serve a loving and a powerful God who cares for us. We need to put our requests to him and not be worried about things that will happen. You guys have heard me teach on meditation before, and I usually ask a large crowd, how many of you guys meditate? And usually you get about maybe 25 or 30% say, oh, I meditate. And then I say, how many of you guys worry? And everybody raises their hand. And worry is just negative meditation. What are you thinking about? The verses that come right after the Philippians 4, 6, and 7 that I read a minute ago is Philippians 4, 8. Many of you guys are familiar with that. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. The God of peace will be with you. So it's not about not thinking, but it's what are you thinking about? Meditate upon the Word of God. Meditate upon His promises. Meditate upon who you are in Christ. Think about those things. Think about the things that God has said that He will do to you, in you, through you. God desires that we give our concerns to Him, not hold them ourselves and think that we're the only one who can change things. And then the next little encouragement is, do not set your heart on earthly treasures. How many of you guys over the last month, Christmas time, have been concerned about earthly treasures? And there's no doubt that American celebration of Christmas has been commercialized and has become all about gifts. Most of us also know that earthly possessions do not bring long-term contentment and fulfillment. I love Christmas. I love the celebration. I love all the things that we do with Christmas trees and Christmas lights and watching the Grinch and watching Charlie Brown. I love all that. But that's our American celebration, cultural celebration of Christmas. Christmas is about Jesus, about his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, about God, the Word becoming flesh and dwelt among us. And so it can be a bridge of how we bring people who are just celebrating, if you will, American Christian Christmas, make a bridge, a communication beginner, to bring them to a study of how we talk about Jesus during Christmas. But it's not about earthly treasures. Our culture, American culture, tends to be about commercialism, about capitalism, about buying stuff. And we all enjoy stuff, right? Anybody enjoy stuff? We all do. We like stuff. But at long term, it doesn't give you contentment, doesn't give you fulfillment, doesn't give you peace. It gives you a temporary feeling of something, but it doesn't give you long-term peace and joy. As most of you guys have heard, Matthew 6:33, which is a parallel phrase to what we read here in Luke, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So what are you seeking first? Are you seeking all those things? Or are you seeking after God? God loves you. God cares for you. God wants the best for you. So seek him, and he will provide for you what is best for you, what is long term for you. There's more to life than stuff, food, drink, and clothing. Ask God to give you his priorities. I forgot one verse. Matthew chapter 16, verse 25 through 26. It says, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? So the question is, what are you seeking in this world? Are you seeking fame, fortune? Are you seeking glory? Or are you seeking stuff, possessions, pleasure, power? Or are you seeking after God? Seek after God, seek his kingdom first, seek his priorities first, seek after a relationship with him, and he will give you the things that you need for his calling upon your life. We tend to think short term, I'm going to get what I can get in the way that I can get it. God wants us to seek after him. In the early first few centuries before Constantine and around 300, the church was persecuted by Rome. The Roman authorities broke into a Christian church to rob its treasures. The Romans said, Show us your treasures at once, since they couldn't find any. The deacon of the church pointed to the widows and the orphans who were being fed, the sick who were being cared for, the poor whose needs were being supplied, and he said, these are the treasures of the church. The people are the treasures of the church. The church, the people are the church. The people are the ones who God desires to bless and show his life to and show his life through. As this saying goes, today will never come again. Be a blessing, be a friend, encourage someone, take time to care. Let your words heal and not wound. We are called to be light to the world. We're called to be salt to the world. We're called to share the message of reconciliation. We're called to be his ambassadors. We're called to be filled with his spirit and share his grace and his mercy and his love with others. Amen?
Amen.
And then the last one, do not be afraid. The opposite of fear is hope. Put your hope in God. We put our hope in God, not in ourselves, not in our jobs, not in our government, not in our possessions, not even in our family and friends. We put our hope in God. We cannot control what we cannot control. We cannot control. We want things to go well for us, and we should put our faith, we should be continue to be faithful, and do all that God has called us to do. But ultimately, our trust is in God, not in ourselves, not in others. Our trust is in God to lead us, to guide us, direct us, provide for us. Most of you guys know the story of Daniel's friends and when they went into Babylonian captivity, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Or when we were kids, they used to say, "My shack, your shack, and to bed we go." Most of you guys know that story. They went into exile and they began to raise them up. They brought in leaders from other churches when they captive countries. So they had Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And then some people didn't like them, so they said, "We're going to trick them so they will have to bow down and worship our gods." And they chose not to. The three Hebrew young men refused to worship the Babylonian gods and were thrown into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up." So we're not going to worship other gods. We believe that God is able to save us. We believe that he will save us. But even if he doesn't, we're still not going to worship your gods. We are going to put our hope in God. And as if you remember the stories in Daniel 3 and all through there, they came out of the fire unharmed. Even the clothes did not smell of fire. They were allowed to worship the Lord and him alone. They said from that story that when they looked down in there and saw the three down there, they saw another one like a son of God, whether that was an angel or a pre-incarnate image of Christ, we don't know. But God was with them in the fire. God doesn't always deliver us from the fire, but he delivers us through the fire. And sometimes, I think you recognize this in your own lives, that sometimes we grow the most when we go through times of trial, tribulations, when we have to come to the place where we depend upon God. So in those times, we say, "God, strengthen me, reveal your strength in me, reveal your life in me, reveal your joy in me, reveal yourself through me in the midst of that situation that I might glorify you in all that I do." Most of you guys have heard this, that in the scriptures, 365 times it says something like, "Do not be afraid, fear not." I don't know if that's coincidental or not, that that's how many days there are in the year, but every single day we need to hear, "Do not be afraid, fear not, trust in the Lord, put your hope in God, put your eyes on him, seek his kingdom first, rather than seeking after your own kingdom." Ed? Oh, yeah.
In trying to do that, because those things take over me sometimes and I can't do anything about it. But, I pray, I get down on my knees and stuff, but it's just like unbelievable, like concrete walls sometimes.
Because those are the things, if you will, those are the things we're taught in our culture to do. We're taught to seek after earthly kingdom. We're taught to seek after possessions. We're told to seek after power and pleasure. We're told to to worry about things, because if you don't have this, as somebody told me one time, I don't know how many different advertisements we hear a day on the internet or through television or radio or whatever. We hear lots and lots of advertisements. And it's the goal of every advertisement to tell you to be discontent. So we're bombarded with messages: be discontent. The car you have is not good enough. The detergent you have is not good enough. The spouse you have is not good enough. You need this, you need that, you need. So we're constantly bombarded with be discontent. And so it's hard to be content. We need to find our contentment, find our security in the Lord, rather than all that other stuff out there. And we're constantly bombarded with fear. And we need to, I think it's Philippians 1:7. We've not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. So when you say, God, today I want to walk in your power. I want to walk in a sound mind. I want to walk in who I am in you, not walk in the spirit of fear. Because we all have a tendency to be afraid of not what's coming tomorrow, right? It's always a test when you lay your head down at night on the pillow. What are you thinking about? Oh, tomorrow I'm going to fail this test. I'm going to lose this account. I'm going to lose this job. I'm going to get this person mad at me. And all this negative stuff we're bombarded with. We need to find our security in Him, find our hope in Him, find our trust in Him, not seek after those things in the world that will give us a temporary security, but find our hope in Him. It's a constant battle, but as we've talked about in Ephesians 6, right, we put on the full armor of God. We do it in His strength, in His ability, and not on our own. If we're ever trying to fight this battle in our own strength, we're going to fail, but we need to find our strength in Him, our joy in Him. Amen? Woo! That'll preach, baby. And then it also talks about here, where your treasure is, there will your heart be. So the question is, where is your treasure? What are the things that you treasure most? And I encourage you to think about that. What are the things that I treasure most? Because whatever that area is, that thing is, that's where your heart's going to be. And it's not bad to have your treasure in your spouse, in your kids, treasure in your grandkids. But ultimately, you have to find your treasure, your security, your identity, your purpose, your vision, your fulfillment in God. He's going to give you other good things in life. Those aren't bad things, right? Your job is not a bad thing. Your kids are not a bad thing. Those kind of aren't bad, but find your ultimate fulfillment, security, identity, purpose, in God. Because things are going to come up in life that are going to try to discourage you, try to aggravate you, try to frustrate you, to find your purpose and other things. Ultimately, you have to find that I am secure in who I am in Christ. Ultimately, I am find my identity, my purpose in God, and that He gives me that inner strength to move on to do what He's called me to do. 2 Corinthians 4 talks about looking at the unseen rather than the seen, which is kind of an oxymoron to me. How do you look at the unseen? But we have to find our purpose in who He is, rather than finding because I've got a better car than you, I've got a better house than you, I've got a better this than you, I've got a better that, because those things can fade away. And if those things fade away, where do I find my identity? Where do I find my security? It has to be in who I am in Christ. It has to be in Him. Amen? And also at the last part of this passage, it also talks about generosity. When we are secure in Him, not afraid of losing our stuff, we are free to be generous to others. We're not afraid. Not being afraid, not worrying, not setting our hearts on earthly things will cause us to be generous. We are called to be God-centered, not other-centered, not self-centered. We're called to be God-centered and other-centered, not self-centered. When we receive hope and peace and love from God, it should cause us to desire to give hope and peace and love to others. And I think one of the major things I see in Scripture, because God loves us, we're called to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we're called to love others in the way that we're loved. Because God has forgiven us, we're called to forgive others. Because God has given us grace, we're called to give grace to others. Because He's given us mercy, we're called to give mercy to others. We can't do those things until we receive those from God. And in some ways, until we understand. The more we understand that we're loved by God, the more that we will love Him. The more that we understand that we're loved by God, accepted by God, at peace with God, the more we'll be able to love others around us. Because it's a tall order to But we have enough time, hard enough time, loving people that we love. We have an even harder time loving our neighbor who is different than we are, looks at things differently. But imagine Jesus is calling us to love our enemies. There's no way to do that in our own strength, our own ability, our own power, but we're called to do that because he's done that. We see in Romans chapter 5, it talks about when we were all God's enemies, that's when he sent Christ to die for us. So we're called to share that love with people who disagree with us politically, people who disagree with us socially, people who disagree with us the way we, whether you like Star Wars or don't like Star Wars, right? When you go on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, people are arguing about all kind of stuff. And we're called to give grace. We're called to give love. We're called to give mercy. And we can disagree about things, but we're also called to love people who disagree with us, love people who are our enemies. Because God loves us, we're called to love others. I'm continually reminded that at Christmas time, how we're called to show the love of God to others. And in conclusion, 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety, all your worries on him because he cares for you. The only way to truly deal with worry is not to say, well, whatever happens is going to happen, but to say, God, I have these worries, I have these concerns, I have this anxiety, I'm going to cast that upon you, and I know that you can carry that because you love me, you want the best for me, and you're also powerful enough to make changes. So we need to say, God, I know what I want, but I want what you want. Because I know ultimately what you want is better for me. As we enter the new year, we need to put our trust in God. We need to allow him to set our priorities. We need to find our peace in him because he cares for us. We need to seek to know him better, to listen to him more closely, and we are called to represent him and to share the message of reconciliation with others. Next week, Craig's going to talk about, this is a lot about talking about worry, but Craig's going to talk about going forward into the new year, having a good 2020 vision. I'm sure there'll be a lot of sermons with that title, having a good 2020 vision going into the new year. But God, help us to see clearly a 2020 vision of who we are in you, what you've called us to do, who you've called us to be. Help us to receive your spirit to empower us to be who you've called us to be around our neighbors, around our friends in this world. As we've talked about before, Jesus said, I think it's John 13, it says, they shall know you are my disciples if you love one another. So help cause that to be our guide. That God, I want to be known as your disciple, so help me to love one another. We'd like it to be other stuff, right? But the main decider, the main thing that shows that we are his disciples, if we love one another. Let's pray. Lord, help us some way, somehow, realize more and more every day that we are loved by you. We are at peace with you. You have forgiven our sins. You have done away with our guilt. Jesus has died for our sins. You have done away with our shame. You have done away with our fear. So help us to walk in faith and love and hope and to share your message of reconciliation with those around us. Help us to find our confidence, our security, our identity, our purpose, our vision in you. Help us to hear your voice clearly and find peace in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.